God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton about the second coming of Jesus Christ. The encouraging word. Anticipation is a remarkable tool in our lives. We anticipate birthdays and Christmas and vacations, but there is a spiritual anticipation about what's going to happen when Jesus comes again. It is a tremendous insight to how we're going to live out today. This very day. We'll open God's Word with Dr. Don Wilton in just a moment about this, the second coming of Jesus Christ, part two. That's on the way, but Dr. Don wants me to remind you we're here for you. We'd love to pray with you and for you on our phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. Now today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Hello, my dear friends. I tell you, this is just an amazing thing. And for me personally, this is a very deep spiritual thing for me. I'm just sharing with you personally that, you know, I've been here to Israel, to the Holy Land, many times and love it. I love bringing groups. I hope that you can come with me one day. It's just a powerful, powerful, moving spiritual experience and a lot of fun too. And you know, I love being down in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus prayed and going down the Kidron Valley and following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus and just seeing what happened in the life of the Lord. Just so powerful. Do you know, standing here right under the Eastern Gate, carries, I don't know, I can't explain it to you, you know. Would you understand if I said I'm almost lost for words? And I think that the reason is that as we study the issue of the second coming of the Lord Jesus, this incredible event in which the heavens will open according to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11, and Jesus will come down, back down to this earth, riding a white horse, and then all the armies of heaven will be following him. And Revelation 11 tells us that on his thigh is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, this triumphant entry of the King, the Savior of the world, right here onto the Temple Mount to reclaim his throne. And by the way, right here at Mount Moriah, where the same place where, remember, Abraham took Isaac and was about to sacrifice his own son. You remember what happened? And right there at the moment of impact, just before Abraham was in full obedience, was going to kill and sacrifice his only son, Isaac, God stayed his hand and said, nope. There's a better way. It's the only way. Because without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And it's just so incredible that this same Jesus, who gave his life for us, was raised by the power of God on the third day, conquering sin and death in the grave, appeared to over 500, then ascended from the Mount of Olives, right here next to me, ascended from the Mount of Olives, went back into heaven, and the angel of God said, don't you worry about a thing, men of Galilee. The same Jesus who went up is going to come back down again. And Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, is that very moment when we're told about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder the angels in heaven in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1 were the ones who thunderously, with great joy, sang out and rang out. Go and read it in Revelation 19. This marvelous rendition of hallelujah, praise the Lord, Jesus is coming back again. And the Bible says that He's going to land on the Mount of Olives, and then he's going to come down the side of this mountain into the Kidron Valley, and then he's going to go through this Eastern Gate. Let me tell you a couple of things about the Eastern Gate. All right, you ready for this? Because I always have questions about it. Why is this Golden Gate, as we call it, or the Eastern Gate, shut? Well, let me take you to where this all comes from. So you might want to turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 44. Ezekiel chapter 44. I'd like to just read a few verses to you from Ezekiel chapter 44, this great prophecy here. Listen. Then the man brought me back to the outer gate of the sanctuary, the one facing east, and it was shut. The Lord said to me, this gate is to remain shut. It must not be opened. No one may enter through it. It is to remain shut because the Lord, the God of Israel, has entered through it. The prince himself is the only one who may sit inside the gateway to eat in the presence of the Lord. He is to enter by way of the portico of the gateway and to go out in exactly the same way. Now, this Eastern Gate is really quite interesting, you know, when you think about it. It's an amazing, amazing fact that we deal with. The Bible tells us some things about the Eastern Gate. First of all, I mean, just a matter of interest, in the Hebrew and amongst the Jewish people, it became known as the Gate of Mercy. Now, there are a lot of historical things here, folks. We know about the city of David and when the temple was built and what was here and what was not here. And you're going to hear all kinds of different speculations and thoughts about the Golden Gate, about the Eastern Gate, about where it was and why it isn't, and who said this and who said that. I want you to just be very clear with me right now as we focus our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want you to focus on, is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in the prophecy of Ezekiel, three things really take place. And I don't have time to get into all the details here, so just stick with me for just a little bit. All right? First of all, back in Ezekiel chapter 10, the Bible talks about the glory of the Lord leaving the temple. Leaving the temple. The Bible also tells us in Ezekiel chapter 11 that the glory of the Lord not only left the temple, but the glory of the Lord took up residence, guess where? On the Mount of Olives. Then Ezekiel chapter 44 talks about the glory of the Lord returning to the temple. Now watch this. The glory of the Lord is in the temple. The glory of the Lord leaves the temple. Mount of Olives. Jesus goes to heaven. Jesus returns, comes back according to the prophecy of Ezekiel, walks through this gate that only he has the authority of God to open, and he reclaims the throne of God, the Temple Mount, this Mount Moriah, this place where God demonstrated to us that no man, not even Isaac, not even the absolute obedience of Abraham could ever take the place of the righteous Son of the living God. That's why, my friends, in the Garden of Gethsemane right here, Jesus began to sweat drops of blood. He said, Father, remove this cup from me. Remove the cup of my suffering. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Because his obedience was perfect. His sacrifice was perfect. And the fact that you and I, when we give our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ, we are made perfect in him. He becomes us. We become him. He lives in us. We live in him. The Spirit of God dwells in us. And at the time of the rapture of the church, if we have not already died and been taken up into his presence, the Bible says we will be caught up to meet him in the air. I'll be talking about that. That's a great subject. I've already spoken to you many times on that subject. We'll go over it again and again and again and again. And so Jesus comes back again. So what have we learned? Well, number one, that Jesus will come back just as he left. That's what the Bible tells us. God's angel made the announcement in Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. By the way, isn't it amazing that it's the angels who announced the coming of Jesus? An angel announced that he would come back, and that he would come back just as he left. And the angels announce, here he comes. Heaven opens in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11, not in order to receive Jesus Christ, because he's already there, but rather to release him to come back to this earth for the final time, to be joined by God the Father in Revelation chapter 21, where God from his throne makes the announcement that from now on, I will make my dwelling place among men. Ladies and gentlemen, I am standing at the headquarters of heaven. I'm almost speechless. And you can be here too. This is where Christ, the King, will set up his headquarters.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of today's message with Dr. Don Wilton in just a moment. But Dr. Don wants me to remind you, we're here for you. And again, in this unique season of life, we have three times more opportunities to pray together than we did this time last year in our ministry, including this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And keyboard to keyboard on our website, tewonline.org. And I think it's in two things. There are more people listening than ever, and we are grateful to have you listening. But also more of us realizing that just the sound of another Christian's voice praying for us specifically can be one of the most encouraging things we can be a part of. So we'd love to get connected with you. The number again is 866-899-9673, or meet us online at tewonline.org. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
So, what's the third truth then about the second coming of Jesus? Well, we've already heard it. Jesus will come back to the Mount of Olives. You can go with me back, for example, to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4. Take a look at it. Get out the Word of God. Just take a look at it or listen to this. I'm reading it. It's not my word. I didn't say this. God said this. This is his word. And by the way, just to make something very clear, the encouraging word, it's about this word, this inerrant word. This is God's infallible word from Genesis to Revelation. This is God's truth. God said this. I didn't say this. No preacher. It doesn't matter how much we speculate. Listen to what he says, Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. I'm east of Jerusalem. I'm here at the Eastern Gate. You and I are worshiping right now at the Eastern Gate. Right here is the Kidron Valley. Go straight up the mountain here to the top of the Mount of Olives. That's what he says here. I don't know how to get around this. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. So Jesus is coming back, but he's coming back specifically to the Mount of Olives. Let me put it in another way. He's going to land on the Mount of Olives. Where is that? Right here. This is it. It's a real place. I mean, this is a real Jesus. He's the only Jesus. Jesus is alive. I'm beside myself just trying to tell you this. Friend, you need to give your life to Christ today. Don't put it off. You cannot afford to put this off. Because if you put it off, you will be left behind. You will suffer separation from Him forever and forever and forever. Give your life. So what does the Bible tell us about His coming? Let me just go through it again. Number one, He will come back just as He left. Number two, He will come back very suddenly. Number three, He will come back to the Mount of Olives. But number four, He's going to come back as the living water. He's coming back as the living water. Listen to what Zechariah 14 and verse 8 teaches us. On that day, living water will flow out of Jerusalem, half to the eastern sea and half to the western sea, in summer and in winter. The Lord will be king over all the whole earth, and on that day there will be one Lord, and His name will be the only name. Jesus is coming back as He is. By the way, living water. What did Jesus tell us? Jesus told us that He was the living water. Remember what He told that one lady when He was ministering on this earth? He said, listen, you drink of Me, you'll never thirst again. I found that to be true. There's so many people in our world today who are just so desperately in need of quenching their thirst spiritually. They dried out. They parched. They just so badly want something fresh to drink. And that's exactly what Jesus will do for them. He will quench their thirst. He will give to you a freshness and a vitality that you cannot even begin to explain. I want you to give your life to Christ. I'm inviting you to give your life to Christ. This is why. Because Jesus is the living water. You know, the Bible tells us in the prophecy, Mount of Olives is going to be split in two. Water is going to flow down to the eastern sea. That's the Dead Sea. I've been there many times, just in that direction there. And boy, it's a pretty desolate place. Nothing is alive there. It's below sea level. I bet some of you have been there like I have with many people. You know, and you go into the Dead Sea, it's just one whole load of salt. That's what it is. Nothing can live there. Everything's dead, just like it says. You know what's buried beneath the Dead Sea? Sodom and Gomorrah. You ever wondered why? Go and read about it. There was such sin in Sodom and Gomorrah. God condemned them, burned them to the ground, and buried them under the Dead Sea. Nothing alive. That's the consequences of sin. But Jesus said, I'm the water of life. You know when Jesus comes back? That water is going to flow down the Kidron Valley, going to come out one of those wadis in full force, going to flow into the Dead Sea. You got it. Everything's going to come back to life. Because when Jesus gets involved, everything comes back to life. Outside of Jesus, nothing survives. No hope. Nowhere to go. Cannot come back with Him, cannot be with Him, cannot live with Him. Folks, I hear it all. You hear it all. Well, He was such a kind person. Well, surely God's going to let him into heaven. Well, finally God needs a trumpet player in heaven. Well, at least this person tried hard. Well, at least this person went to church. I've heard it all. The Bible says those that believe on His name are part of His kingdom. Have you trusted Him as Savior? You see, that's the fifth thing about the second coming of Jesus. Jesus will come back with all believers. That's me. That's you. Revelation 19:14 tells us that. When He arrives, when He lands, when He puts His feet back on the Mount of Olives, I'm going to be with him, riding on a white horse. You're going to be with him. We're all going to be with him. You know, I love my dad. Gosh, my dad died. He was right on 90 years of age. I miss him greatly. I know that you miss your loved ones, but I tell you one thing about my dad. He loved the Lord Jesus. Guess what? I'm going to see him again because he's alive. He took a drink of the living water. And because Dad took a drink of the living water and I took a drink of the living water, we're going to be with Jesus in heaven. And when Jesus comes and heaven opens in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11, I'm going to be with him. You're going to be with him. My dad's going to be with him. Every one of us, those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, are going to be with him. We're going to come back down to this earth. We're going to march down together down the Mount of Olives through the Kidron Valley. We are going to be the army that follows him across the Golden Gate Bridge that is going to open the Golden Gate, and we're going to march onto the Temple Mount where Jesus will set up his kingdom once and for all before he marches through the hills of Samaria to the battlefields of Armageddon, defeats all the nations once and for all, incarcerates the false prophet an Antichrist, and then he's going to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years, and after that he's going to release Satan for just a little while. He's going to pour fire down from heaven, then he's going to put Satan where he belongs, into that fiery pit called hell, forever and forever and forever and forever. And then he is going to set up his great white throne in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, where all people who've said no to Jesus will be judged for the final time and will be sentenced, and he will say, depart from me, you doer of iniquity, because I never knew you. And anyone whose name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast from his presence. Revelation 21 and verse 1. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had passed away, and everything had become brand new, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven to be among man. And a voice from the throne said, from now on, I, the Lord your God, am making my dwelling place among mankind. There will no longer be any tears, no mourning, no more distractions, no more flies bothering you, no more hurt, no more separation, no more pain, no more consternation, no more division, no more wars, droughts, famines, volcanoes, tornadoes, hurricanes, no more starving, no more forest fires, no more terrorism. We're going to be with Jesus forever. You see, that's the sixth point of the second coming. Jesus will come back as king. That's what Zechariah 14 and verse 9 tells us. It's a very straightforward, down-the-line statement. Oh, yeah. They took him and they maligned him and they scourged him and blasphemed him and spat upon his face. Yeah, there was a time he came riding in on a donkey. Oh, they mocked him, all right. No, sir. God, by his mighty power, raised Jesus from the dead. And then he ascended to be seated at the right hand of the Father, now making intercession for you and for me. You know, one of the great joys of my life is to be with dear Dr. Billy Graham all these years. Every time I'm with Dr. Billy Graham, I just think of all the words that he said to thousands of people, even right here in Jerusalem. A man so blessed by the touch of God, a man who spent his life serving with such humility. People ask me from time to time, you know, what can you tell me about Dr. Billy Graham? Well, lots of things. One thing that I always hear him saying, God loves you. G Jesus died for you. Won't you give your heart to Jesus today? Won't you trust Him as your Savior and Lord? Why don't you do that? Because Jesus is coming back again.
What a powerful way to close out today's broadcast. You know, many of you are aware of the fact that not only was Dr. Wilton a part of the funeral for Billy Graham, but was his pastor for the last 25 years or more of his life. And Dr. Don would be quick to say that everything that Dr. Graham said on television, everything that he represented to the millions of people that he shared the gospel with, was even more true one-on-one, privately, in his home, as they began to grow closer over those 25 years. I had the privilege of being in Dr. Graham's home on a Christmas as we went to spend some time and sing carols together. It was a life-changing experience for me just to be around a man of that humble stature. I've never met someone more humble. And he had, I guess, in ways, every reason not to be. But, you know, he's with Jesus now. And the reality of your life and my life is when we die, we can either be with Jesus or be separated Him for eternity. That's what Dr. Graham lived his life about. That's what we at The Encouraging Word take moments out of every day in order to share that great truth with you. And I pray that you would not let this day pass without taking these next words from Dr. Don Wilton very much to heart.
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much.
If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, let us know about it. Let Dr. Don know about it. Call us at 866-899-WORD and let us send some wonderful resources to you. 866-899-9673 or meet us online at tewonline.org. There is a world of resources right there at tewonline.org.
Do you know someone that could use some encouragement? We're here to help. Visit our online web store at tewonline.org. It's like having a Christian bookstore at your fingertips 24 hours a day. You will find sermon messages, books, and outreach cards. Let us take care of the shipping and help you send a word of hope today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone for today, but join us again tomorrow for the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton here on The Encouraging Word.